हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Jai. So Arjuna on his pilgrimage, so he's already gone to Ulupi, means he's already had his pastime with Ulupi, then with Chitrangada and married Ulupi, then he married Chitrangada in Manipur, then going down through the south, then he came to the five lakes there, where the sages were, and the apsaras that had become turned into crocodiles, and now having freed all those apsaras from the forms of crocodiles. Then he took leave from the rishis, and then he continued on his journey. Arjuna traveled up Bharata's western coast until he arrived at Prabhas. So this was down south, so then he would have gone around the bottom, would have gone to Kanyakumari and that, and then come up the other side. In the sea near Prabhas, Krishna had constructed a city called Dwarka. Arjuna could see the splendid fortress city from a distance, shining like the sun on the horizon. Can only be reached by passing along a heavily guarded bridge. When he reached the bridge, Arjuna sent word of his arrival to Krishna, who immediately came out of the city to see his dear friend. They embraced with joy. News of Arjuna's exile from Indraprastha had already reached Dwarka, and Krishna had been expecting him to arrive before the year was up. Because he knew if he went from Indraprastha, then he went around, then, you know, it would take most of the year. And then he'd come to Dwarka, and then from Dwarka, that's just a short distance back to Indraprastha. And, and so then he's expecting he'll show up, because he knows, you know, because you go around clockwise, and so then he'll come to this side. And, of course, he wouldn't not go and visit Krishna. So it's definite. He knew that Arjuna was interested in gaining the hand of his sister Subhadra. Arjuna had heard much about the princess from Gada, Krishna's cousin who had studied under Drona along with the Pandavas. Gada had described her as being incomparably beautiful and endowed with every womanly qualification. Just by hearing the description, Arjuna's heart had become attracted. He had resolved even then to somehow win her as his wife, and that would forge an alliance between the Pandavas and their beloved Lord Krishna. Right? Because now they have an alliance with Drupad. And then we see from before Bhima, he has an alliance with the Rakshasas, you know, at least that particular group of Rakshasas, you know, connected with Ghatotkacha. And that, and then now they have, if with this, then they'd be aligned with Dwarka. They're already connected to Dwarka because of their mother. But then now, because of the marriage, then, because the mother goes, she becomes part of the girl goes, she becomes part of the other family. So yes, they're relatives. But then by marriage, then it makes it a much stronger bond. Like that. I'm not sure Gada is not another name for, what's his name? Satyaki. It's not. So Gada is someone else. Because I think in another place it mentioned how Satyaki had mentioned something. So maybe it just came up in the conversation. Arjuna told Krishna about his travels to the holy places, and the Vrishni here replied, "This is all good. Your piety and virtue are ever increasing." Right? Because the idea is that if they're going to maintain themselves and be successful, then you know the greater amount of their piety, then naturally the better everything will work out for them. Though they're devotees, but still Krishna is showing how you do everything right, things go nicely and all that. But it takes its time. So now he's pointing, your piety and virtue are ever increasing. You know, that's also part of the pastime. If you're with the Lord and all that, then the Lord's going to talk about piety, when in actuality it's about bhakti, because they're doing it because, it's the way Krishna had arranged it, that's how, devotees are engaged in the pious activities, not because they're pious, but because that's the activities that Krishna himself likes to do. The Pandava prince turned quickly to the subject of Subhadra. He asked Krishna how she might be won. Krishna smiled. This princess is worthy of you in every way, O tiger among men, but who knows what would be her decision at a Swayambar, right? So Krishna's using some clever tricks, right? So, you know, in Krishna's mind, it's a perfect match, but if there's a Swayambar, then who knows who will win, who she'll choose, who will win. You know, if they just have a regular Swayambar, all the princes come, they all are introduced and not, then she sees them all, then she chooses. Or there's sometimes, like you see so many of them, then a particular test is set. You know, like for Krishna, then it was that one, there's seven bulls had to be, wild bulls had to be tamed, and that kind of aspect. And so, you know, as Yudhishthira said, when you have that, it's whoever can do it. You know. The surest way for a hero to win a maiden is to carry away by force, right? So the Rakshasa marriage. Because amongst the Kshatriyas, that's more fun. You know, because you have to be very valiant to come into a group of other Kshatriyas and right in front of their nose just pick up the girl and leave. You know, because it's going to be a fight, you know, the armies. It's a whole scene, you know, but it's what makes Kshatriya marriages, you know, how you say, inspiring, right? This is always the way of the powerful and is sanctioned by Holy Scripture. It means it's sanctioned for them. No one else is supposed to be doing these those kind of points. Brahmins don't use those. And it means Vaishyas could use them, but it's not recommended. Because then, you know, unless they have really good arrangements, then it won't work out well for them. Of course, then Vaishyas taking a Vaishya girl, he only has to fight with other Vaishyas, so it might be a little easier, right? You know, they might hit you with a spoon or something, you know. Krishna added that his brother Balaram was intent on seeing her married to Duryodhana, you know, because then in this way, then he's connecting the houses, but through Duryodhana. Even though no one else in Dwarka was very keen on this suggestion, right? No one else liked the idea, because Duryodhana had been such a very good student of Balaram. So when Balaram, it was requested that he would teach Bhima and Duryodhana's club, then he showed them. And Duryodhana was such a nice student, because you can see later when it comes to the battle, when he wants to be nice, he can be so nice. He can really, really go for it. And so then, he just thought it would be a good connection here. And plus, for the pastime, if that wasn't there, then what's the fun? If it's just that, yeah, he comes there, then marries her and goes off. Like you see, how long was the story for Draupadi? Right? You know, it goes on and on and on, because there's so many details, the fighting and this, and what this one thinks and that, and all the different things. But you see, for Chitrangada Ulupi, then, you know, in one page, the pastime's finished and it moves on. I think with Chitrangada, was half page. You know, because there wasn't anything other than the standard details of the arrangements and all the niceness and the family, you know, interactions and all that. So that's great, but, you know, how many times are you going to hear that? And so then, but we see when there's something big and arranged like that, then it's something that will be remembered. Like people may or may not know that Arjuna is married to, Ulupi and Chitrangada, but they will know that he's married to Draupadi and Subhadra. Right, because of just, you know, the whole scene that happened with that. Krishna especially did not like the idea. So no one else liked the idea, but Krishna especially didn't like the idea. He would much prefer Arjuna to take his sister's hand, because then they're basically their brothers. Right? But Balaram was the city father, and Krishna and Krishna's eldest brother, and Krishna did not want to go against his wishes, right? So because he's the elder, the senior, okay, we'll go with it. He told Arjuna to be patient, so they're going to make some arrangement here. They would devise a plan. In the meanwhile, they could spend some time together. Arjuna still had 4 months remaining of his exile. He could spend it at Dwarka, right? So instead of continuing on pilgrimage, he could just spend the 4 months in Dwarka, and then after 4 months is over, he could ride back in a chariot, Like, you know, there's no problem. There's no rule that you can't go in a chariot anywhere. It's just that, you know, if you're on exile for a year and you're on pilgrimage, you generally walk. Krishna suggested that Arjuna keep his identity concealed. If he entered the city openly, he would not get a chance to see Subhadra, right? Because then if the arrangement is being, once in general, you're not going to see, and specifically then the plan is to marry her to Duryodhana, so there's no need for others to be seen. She lived in Balaram's palace and was never seen in public. Her first appearance would be at her marriage. If Arjuna went into the city dressed as a monk, however, Balaram would doubtlessly invite him for meals, right? Because the monks, the sannyasis, the sages, the big Brahmins and all this, that you'll invite, they'll sit down in one place, and so then they'll be regularly invited for a meal and things like that, and that way then it increases the piety of the family members in that. Krishna knew that his elder brother was fond of entertaining ascetics and sages, and also that he always arranged for Subhadra to serve them so that she might be blessed and increase her virtue. So in the families, and here, the unmarried girls, many times they would serve the meals to these great sages, and that, so they would get their blessings. And then with that, then they're, you know, they'd go on and their family life would go very smoothly. So you see also with Kunti that when Durvasa came to the palace and stayed, then she was the one that took care of everything, all the arrangements and all that. And then from that, he got the blessings of Durvasa. He gave that boon of the mantra that she could call any demigod she wanted. Arjuna should therefore disguise himself as an ascetic, a member of the sannyas order. No one would recognize him if he matted his hair and kept his beard, especially when he was dressed in the saffron robes of a sannyasi. So they're not even going to think it's Arjuna, right? So he's been out on pilgrimage, so there's a good idea that, you know, he's got a big beard and he has long hair, because it's been, you know, means already they have long hair like that, but they don't generally keep a beard. But now being out, you don't shave regularly, so now he's got a beard. And so now if he mats his hair, then that and he has the beard, because the beard covers very nicely, then wears the saffron clothes, no one's going to think that he's Arjuna. And we see that they also had that, you know, year or so, you know, after the Varnavata incident, you know, being incognito. So they know how to deal in such a way no one recognizes them. Then he could live in Dwarka during the coming months and await an opportunity to win the beautiful Subhadra. The rainy season was just upon them, and it was customary for wandering ascetics to stay in cities until the rains had passed. Right, so we see it's Krishna's plan that exactly the 8 months that it took to go, it would bring him to Dwarka, because otherwise if the rains had start early, he might have stopped somewhere else. Like, then you don't travel during the Chaturmas, because the roads are bad anyway. So then they're going to see when's the opportunity. And you have the aspect of during Chaturmas, you can't have marriage ceremonies anyway. So then the idea would be to stay there until Chaturmas is over. Then after Chaturmas, then you could do. But they have 4 months then to plan. Krishna went back into his city and Arjuna waited a few more days outside before entering. So that's why you see Krishna's plan. Krishna came outside. Well, otherwise, the normal thing is he had come, they would have invited in, then they all know Arjuna's in the city. But Krishna came out to see him. So that means no one in the city knows. And then, you know, probably Arjuna would have left. So even if they did, they would have, you know, Arjuna, even if some words got around, Arjuna came, could meet Krishna, and then continued on, because they all know he's out for his year of pilgrimage. But here, then he went a few days, and, you know, outside, you know, disappeared, matted his hair and everything, you know, put on the saffron clothes, dressed up like the sannyasi and all that. Krishna's plan had sounded good. The Pandava wanted a chance to see Subhadra, and also for her to see him. Being pious, he did not want to steal her against her desire, right? Because we saw that with Bhishma, that when he stole, kidnapped the three princesses from Kashi, then two of them were fine with that, but one of them had already had her heart set on marrying, Shalya. And so then she was very grumpy with that. And then he said, okay, then you go and marry. But Shalya said, no, you've already been kidnapped, because he had gone there. And then, you know, so he feels, you know, he's been insulted like that, not by her, but by, you know, the thing. So now if he take, then it'll be, oh, but they kidnapped and now you got, and then, you know, they'll talk. So he wanted to make sure that she was interested, and if she was interested, then he would, then, you know, the kidnapping could go on, right? He tied his hair in a knot above his head and put on the dress of a monk. Taking up the triple-rotted staff traditionally carried by Vaishnav sannyasis, worshippers of Vishnu in the renounced order, Arjuna entered Dwarka. Because in the Vedic age, the Tridandi staff, that's standard. It's not a new thing. Some say Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura staff. No, that's the Vedic. Manu mentions it, that's what you do. So, and that's sannyas. So this idea that the Mayavadis have a different danda, that's made up like that. Arjuna entered Dwarka. The unsuspecting gatekeepers allowed the ascetic to pass, right? Because the ascetics come, they just go through, folding their palms in respect as he walked by. Like he had just spent, you know, time with his brothers living as a Brahmin, so they know how to deal, and it's the Brahmins and all that. Arjuna made his way along the huge golden bridge that spanned the ocean to the city. At intervals, the bridge opened out into spacious platforms where were-armed soldiers stood guard. None of them recognized Arjuna as he passed. So it's not just this thin bridge all the way across. It's the bridge goes, and occasionally then there's this big areas where there's, you know, the guards, all the guard, you know, how are you going to get past that? You know, because they have to stay out there. So they have all their facilities out there. When Arjuna reached the city, he was stunned by its opulence. Symmetrically arranged around the city center were 16,000 white palaces, one for each of Krishna's 16,000 queens, right? So the main thing, so Krishna's right in the center of the city, and all his palaces are all around there. So 16,000 palaces. So it's not just, you know, little apartments or something like that. Each one is a big palace with its own gardens and everything like that all around. Each palace was bedecked with gold and jewels, and each rivaled the celestial Mount Meru in size and opulence. Magnificent temples rose up on all sides, and the sounds of sacred chants could be heard everywhere. Beautiful music filled the air, and billows of fragrant incense wafted on the breeze. Right, so there's so much of this incense burning, it's just moving in the breeze. You know, you wouldn't notice in the breeze out of the open unless somebody was, it was just billowing out of places. Shining chariots and great elephants moved here and there. Attractively dressed citizens strolled about the wide avenues, which were inlaid with emeralds and interspersed with gardens stocked with celestial flowers. Right, so you have the wide avenues, as was discussed before in Indraprastha. The avenue is there. Down the middle, it will be a huge park that runs, you know, along the road, you know, with trees and everything, sitting places and all nice, nice things, so that the citizens can go and spend time, you know, during the day or evenings or mornings like that. And then there'll also be, you know, areas that are actually parks. There'll be lakes, you know, swans, you know, all these things. The crossroads. There'll be very big, you know, nice, beautiful arrangements. Trees bearing blossoms of every color stood along the roadsides. All around the city, a massive fortified wall, a full 100 miles long, rose up from the sea. Arjuna gazed about in wonder as he made his way to the Brahmins' quarters of the city. Right, so then it'll be divided. In the middle will be where the king's is, and then the rest of the city will be divided into Kshatriya area, Brahmin area, Vaishya area, Shudra area. So that, you know, they all have their nice arrangements there and everything like that. Arjuna had arranged that his friend be given a large house for his residence. He told him that he would inform Balaram of the arrival of a Vaishnava sannyasi, and that Arjuna could expect to soon be invited to Balaram's palace, where he would see Subhadra. Arjuna felt as if he had ascended to Indra's abode in the heavens. It's actually beyond, but, you know. The gods were even seen frequenting Dwarka, and it seemed as if the residents were celebrating a never-ending festival. So many things wonderful going on. It's just like every day is a festival there. As Krishna had expected, Balaram arranged for Arjuna to be brought to his palace and offered varieties of delicious food. He had his sister Subhadra serve the sannyasi so that she might receive his blessings. The princess stole Arjuna's mind away. She was everything he had heard she was, right? Because during Drona's, when he was teaching, then all the boys came from all the different kingdoms, so there would have been princes from Dwarka also. And so then somehow or another, some point that discussion came up, and what they said, how beautiful she was, and qualified and charming and everything, she was. Subhadra was as beautiful as Vishnu's divine consort Lakshmi, with her blue silk garments, gold earrings and ornaments, and long curling black hair. She could capture the hearts even of the celestials. She moved about with grace and poise as she served the ascetic. Arjuna tried not to stare at her as he accepted the golden dishes she placed before him, but the princess caught his glance and saw the sparkle in his eye. Right? Like in the first canto, then Prabhupada explains that girls have a sixth sense. Right? They can always tell when someone's interested. Like that. So that's why when Sukadev Goswami, in describing that pastime, that after he was born and that, then he just left the house and went running. And his father is saying, no, come back, you know, like this. That, you know, but only the echo from the trees responded, right? So then he went running after him. So Sukadev Goswami, he doesn't have any clothes on, right? He's an abhidhu. So he's just running. And as he's running, then he goes by the place, the bathing ghat, where the girls are. And the girls' bathing ghat, then it's a separate place where no one goes, and they bathe, at least in North India, especially that side, then they bathe without clothes, like that. And so because somehow water doesn't mind if girls bathe with no clothes, but boys, they have to wear something. So he goes running by, but they can tell by this sixth sense that he doesn't have any desire, no material desire. So it's not that, you know, he saw them and he didn't like them or something like that, or, you know, like this. It's that he saw but made no distinction. And so they could see he's a saintly person. So as he went by, they're just standing there and offering respect. And then very shortly after that, Vyasadeva's coming. And as soon as they see him, because he's a grihastan, he distinguishes. Then immediately they grab their clothes and covered up and everything. So Prabhupada explains they have a sixth sense that can tell all this thing. So that she caught his glance and saw the sparkle in his eye. Because it's only a moment like this. Girls see everything. Boys sometimes see, sometimes mostly don't see anything. You know, that they're kind of not aware of the environment. Girls see everything in the environment. She looked more carefully at the sannyasi, right? Because he's a sannyasi, so he's not going to have that, any kind of thing like that. But he has this glint in his eyes. So it's like, then she looks at, who is this guy? Right? He did not resemble the other ascetics Balaram had brought to the house. This ascetic looked more like a prince. Right? But no one else he's an ascetic, no one else is going to bother looking like that. You know, since, so as we said, only the girls would notice more carefully. But she also up to this point accepted, because that's just the way it is. But when she saw this, she just thought something's going on here. So then she checks very carefully. Beneath his thin cotton cloth, Subhadra could see his broad and powerful shoulders. As he accepted the dishes she offered, she noticed his long, well-muscled arms, which resembled a pair of five-hooded serpents. Right, so one-headed serpent, you know, they're okay. But five-headed serpents, they're very big, very, you know, like that, so strong. She could see that behind his beard, the young sannyasi was extremely handsome. His dark eyes pierced hers, and she felt her heart move. It was obvious he desired her. Perhaps he was looking for a bride. She knew that Balaram was trying to arrange her marriage to Duryodhana, but the young sage seemed to be a better prospect than that conceited Kuru prince, right? You know, so it's kind of like, you know, Duryodhana is just, yeah, forget it, you know. Subhadra wondered who the ascetic might be. Over the coming weeks, Balaram invited Arjuna to his palace on numerous occasions. Each time Subhadra served him, and their attraction for one another grew. One day, in confidence, Krishna spoke with his sister on the subject of her marriage. Okay, so, and here is it. So the Krishna then talks to her, and then, you know, about the marriage. So what do you think about marriage and this and that? And, you know, and yes, you know, it's the time's coming up and that. And so he says, you know, Balaram is, you know, he's planning, you know, wants to marry you to Duryodhana and all that. She kind of makes a face, you know, it says here, it says, features twisted this thing, like that kind of, because she's talking to her brother, you know, Krishna, because she knows like that. Talking to Balaram, no, she wouldn't make those faces. And so then, Krishna asks, so, you know, what about Arjuna? And then it's kind of like, yeah, that's it. So he says, and so yes, and Arjuna's, you know, he's also interested in you know, marrying her. It's kind of like, what? How do you know that? And says, not only that, he's come to the city, you know, just for this, you know, this purpose. She says, what do you mean he's come to the city? You know, I haven't seen him. I haven't heard anything, and I haven't seen him. Right? Because if you check at it, she's Yoga Maya. So she knows everything, you know, whatever is going on. So if she doesn't know, it means Krishna's extending his own personal Yoga Maya, so she doesn't know. Just like he can extend it, so Balaram didn't know. Like when the calves and cows were stolen, and Krishna took those forms, Balaram didn't know. And so then, but he figured out something's going on here. So he went to Balaram and said, "Hey, Krishna, what's going on here? Something's happening, but because of your covering of this, I can't see it." So then Subhadra, like that, he says, "Yes, yes, he's been coming and this and that, you know." Then he explains, and then she goes, "Oh, this guy." Like that. Okay. She told him of her feelings for the strange sannyasi, and Krishna smiled. He asked her how she felt about Duryodhana. Right? The princess's features twisted disdainfully. Then Krishna mentioned Arjuna's name, telling her the Pandava's desires of becoming her husband. Indeed, he had come to Dwarka to seek her hand. Subhadra looked at him intently. Suddenly she realized what was saying. The handsome ascetic was Arjuna, right? Otherwise, what's going on? Why had she not guessed? The so-called sannyasi walked like a powerful lion and spoke with a voice resembling a thundercloud. Could only be a great ruler, right? Because generally, you know, unless somehow or another, you know, someone like that had taken sannyasa and all that, but otherwise not. Subhadra was suddenly excited. She intensely desired to become the wife of that famous Kuru hero, but Krishna cautioned her to remain quiet about his identity. If Balaram learned the truth, there would be trouble, right? Definitely. She should be patient. Arjuna would surely find a way to marry her. Yeah, so the other point is I think he also talked to Arjuna. And Arjuna was saying, yeah, but she's not showing any attention, because he said, you know, so like that. So then what about the marriage? It says that ended, but she's not showing any attention. So therefore, I don't want to marry her unless I know she's interested, like it is said in the beginning. And so the point is that because he's a sannyasi, she's not going to show anything. And that. But now that it's here, it's clear, and that's the whole point. Unless she lets him know, then he knows. Like, not because he knows it's her, she doesn't know it's him, right? He's, you know, trying to hide, but something's there. She figures out something's going on. But she's not really letting on much, he's not letting on much. And so then Krishna says, but if, you know, he's only going to accept you, or want to marry you if he knows you want to. He doesn't want to marry you if you're not interested. So then that's going to be the next thing, you know, his next position. So that we'll hear about next time. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.